Good afternoon. I'd like to start out by telling you a little story about when I was a kid. When I was a kid, we moved out to the country and started a small farm, and we were still a bit new to it when we bought this one goat, this one really crazy goat that we had. We named him Old Spice, and he was something else. The night that we bought him, we brought him back and we put him in our barn, and we had this narrow room we called a corn crib. It was quite secure and it had just one small high window. Well, sure enough, we went the next morning out to check on him and he was gone when we went out to feed him. So we called around the neighbors and tried to track him down. And I guess to jump to the end of the story, I'm going to read you some excerpts from the local newspaper that appeared a few days later. It was almost like a scene from a scary movie. Kermit Wilson probably never thought the nightmare would happen to him, but Friday, it did. The Willow Branch resident said he heard his German shepherd, Duchess, barking at something behind the old hog barn. He looked outside and saw a billy goat roaming in the backyard. Unfortunately, this was no ordinary goat. Wilson described it as being approximately 100 pounds and three times the size of his dog. What does one do if they have a strange goat in their yard? Wilson will be the first to tell you he may have made an error in judgment. I sicked the dog on it to chase him off, he said, but the beast just chased the dog around the yard. Wilson then got the idea to chase the goat into the hog barn until he had a chance to call the owner. I corralled him in, he said, but that didn't last long because he came through the barn roof and made a hole as big as his body. Then the goat headed for his front porch. It came in through the storm window, he said. The second time he hit the glass, he shattered it. Once he got in, he lay down like a dog. Wilson pulled the goat out of his kitchen, and once outside, the goat tried to break through the front door before leaving the yard. The goat was recently purchased by a nearby neighbor, and here the newspaper mentions my mom's name. If anyone spots the goat, Porter said she would appreciate a call. I would like for it to come back alive, but I'm just worried someone is going to get hurt. This appeared on page one of our local newspaper, The Daily Reporter, with the headline, "Who are you going to call? Goat Busters." So I was reminded of that. If you all turn to Proverbs 3, I was reminded of that this week. Joy always has a scripture of the week that she puts up on a big marker board in our house. And she had this one passage that reminded me of the story. Proverbs 3. Verse 7, Jesus Christ told his disciples in Matthew 25 that after he returns, he would separate people. He would judge people and he would separate them into the sheep and the goats. The sheep he would put on his right and he'd say, "Come into my kingdom." And the goats he'd put on the left and say, "You're headed for eternal death." Proverbs 3:7 says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Do not be wise in your own eyes. That's the problem with goats, if you've ever had goats. They are not interested really at all in what you think. They what you want and what they want may correspond. They may coincide for a while, like when you're feeding them. But the rest of the time, they just don't care that much. They follow an inner voice. They follow their inner voice. But when Christ talks about sheep, he says they follow their master's voice. This verse in Proverbs, it takes two ideas and it shows that they're natural opposites. And I always think this is interesting about the book of Proverbs. You know, you'll often see something that's a good thing and a bad thing, and they'll be right next to each other. But you often have to stop and look at it and realize these don't immediately look like opposites, but they're put here to make me ask, why are these things together? Are they natural opposites? And often it's pointing us to how they are, how these are mutually exclusive things. A similar thing happens in verse 5 above, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Trust in the Lord, lean not on your own understanding. "And in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." So it's saying here in verse 7, if you're wise in your own eyes, you'll lose the capacity to fear the Lord and depart from evil. I like how Barnes Notes on the Bible comments on this. It says, The great hindrance to all true wisdom is the thought that we've already attained it. And how true is that? Proverbs 26:12 says, "Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him." And sure, some of this seems obvious. When you talk about a topic like this, it feels obvious when we're here in a room together and talk about it. But it's everyday life where things change quite a bit. It's funny because we look down on sheep. We think of sheep as dumb for acting like sheep. But following through on this command to not be wise in our own eyes, this is one of the hardest things for us as people to actually do. It's one of the most unnatural things that we're asked to do. It's a question of who do we rely on? I like the way the New Living Translation also puts this passage, starting in verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil." Ever since Adam and Eve took from that fruit of that tree in the garden, we have hungered for our own wisdom. We've craved our own wisdom. We love the feeling of being in control of our own world. It feels good to feel like I've got my hands on it. I'm in control of my own world. And then when we start to lose that control, that's when we feel worried. That's when we feel anxiety and anxiousness. For us to seek God's will, it's a choice that we have to actually make. It's a conscious choice we have to make early in the morning when we get up, and it's one that we have to continue to make through the day, every day. There's not a lot of other temptations that are like that. And no one relies on God by accident. It's a choice. So that's the question. Who do you rely on? I'd like to read Proverbs 3:7 one more time in one more translation. In the Old King James, which I find interesting here, it says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." We don't often talk about health to our navels very much. You don't really think about that very much. Health to thy navel. But it's an interesting word. It comes from the Hebrew word shor, which to this original audience, they probably would have thought of it in its figurative meaning, which means the center of our strength. It's the center of your strength. We might use the word core today. That kind of means the same thing. But the literal meaning of it is a sort of twisted string, or as it's understood, the umbilical cord. And then from the umbilical cord, it became the navel. And that's interesting to think about this, the umbilical cord. "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." That's quite an image when you think of yourself as an unborn baby, in a way. And this strength that you get, it comes through the umbilical cord. How well would you do without that? How long could you go without that? I think one of the hardest things for me is to remember to ask God to guide me, to show me his will in the situations where I'm comfortable. Whenever I feel like I've got my feet on the ground, I already know what I'm doing. I'm doing a project that I've done before. I already have ideas I'm bringing to it. Those are the times when I'm in my comfort zone that it's hardest to remember that that's what I have to do, and that's what we all have to do. You know, it's easy to remember to pray for God to guide other people, because sometimes you trust a little less what they're going to do. You think those people there, they really need some help. But it's a little harder for us sometimes, unless we get to that point where we feel overwhelmed. But we can't be that way. We can't just be sheep at our low points. We can't just be sheep when we're too scared to be anything else. There's a difference between being sheep because we fear our current circumstances and being sheep because we fear God. And that difference is what we do when we feel like we already know what we're doing. If we just switch on sheep mode in times of distress, our spiritual growth will be stunted. It's kind of a ceiling. You know, you can get up this far and you hit the ceiling as well as soon as you're comfortable again. And we'll have that ceiling that we're stuck at that God can't take us beyond unless we're in some trial that brings us back to him. But we can't be like that. We've got to choose to hear our master's voice, because we choose every day to be under the guidance and under the authority of our master all the time. You don't want to be somebody who punches a goat-shaped hole through life. You don't want to do that. So Let's conclude by turning to 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1 to wrap this up, where Paul writes in verse 26, "Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful, or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord." After Jesus Christ returns as King of Kings, he will separate the sheep from the goats, and he will be the ultimate goat buster. So let's make sure that we don't lean on our own understanding, and let's make sure that we choose every day to hear our Master's voice.